I was thinking, I'm like, well, maybe I'll stick Jude in after Peter, because Peter, it refers to the same thing, and I can knock out all three books that have that in it. The angels which kept not their first estate. They're called reserved in everlasting chains under darkness to the judgment of the great day. There are angels that are kept in prison. Spirits which were disobedient. And again, here we have the, you know, in the ark, there were only 8 souls. There are people out there who try to tell you lies about Noah's Ark, saying, you know, oh, there could have been more people on there. No, there could have only been 8 souls. If you say, well, there were only 8 of a specific kind of soul, well, Peter didn't say that, see. Now they are adding to the word. Like I said, I don't want to get caught up in nonsense teaching. The only reason I want to talk about the flood is because the flood is a like figure to baptism. Because we're not going to get saved by an ark. We're going to get saved by being baptized. Baptism doth save us. Now, again, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you're baptized, you will be saved. But you don't understand. Does baptism alone save us? Does believing on those things alone save us? No. I'll tell you, baptism, if it stand alone, is dead. Faith, if it's alone, is dead. All these things on their own are dead. Righteousness by itself is dead. All things have to work together. You got to have the full complement. Not just a part of the gospel, but the full word and counsel of God. Not looking to these, you know, I could teach you about angels and about you know, the things that happened in the past, and it's exciting, and you walk away, you think, gosh, I got some real knowledge there. I learned something special. I'm really getting into the Bible. But you're not. You're just distracted by issues which have no bearing on your salvation. Not that I'm not saying against what Peter brought it up, all right? But I'm saying, some people would make, no, here we have something really important. The angels that sinned. Let me tell you all about it. And then you think, wow, he's sure a brilliant guy. Look, and he picked that out. He put together 3 or 4 scriptures, and he found something that is kind of almost sounds mythological. I mean, it's just like angels coming down onto the earth and dwelling with men and doing wickedness, etc., etc. The only truth that is going to make you free is the truth that you believe, pertaining to the gospel, and then God takes that promise and fulfills it in your life. You know what I mean? What I mean is, like, the truth is, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Believing that and receiving that, that is salvation. Believing the truth concerning some obscure events in history, angelic rebellions, it's all very sexy doctrine. I mean, it's sort of titillating. It's like, ooh. Because you know why I mention this? Because in my former, the teacher I studied under had all kinds of titillating doctrine for itching ears. He had the angels that sinned. Oh, he taught you a lot about that. He taught you a lot about this, that, and the other things that nothing, things that, and they treat salvation like, oh, well, you know, you just believe. But you, and almost the things you believe are like these special doctrines. You know, you believe that in the Kenites, and you believe in the this, the that, the other. You know, you believe in the in all these auxiliary things, which do not profit you one whit in godliness. It is the kind of knowledge that puffs up, and I see it in him. In his students, many of them who stay with him for years become puffed up. this knowledge has, they're puffed up in this knowledge. They're exalted in it. Instead of being exercised in righteousness, they don't even believe righteousness is something you can possess. In fact, the teacher himself mocks and says, if anyone tells you they're righteous, they're a hypocrite. Well, he might be right. And honestly, I'm never going to tell anyone I'm righteous. I'm just going to be righteous and let my godly example speak for itself. Because there's no, I never see Jesus going around declaring, look how righteous I am. He just did things. He says, the works that I do, they testify of me. You know, if I'm righteous, let God hear my prayers. If I'm righteous, let God testify of the righteousness which is in me by a miracle. I'll accept that. That. Let that speak. But you will not hear my tongue exalt. God forbid. I don't be like, look at, I'm righteous, and I may tell you, I'm godly, I'm this. But those who have knowledge and say, well, I know the truth, I know this, I know that, you know so much, you know nothing. Baptism has saved us not for the putting away of the, you know, because we wash ourselves. Well, look at it. We're clean now. Whew. Oh, get some soap, you know. It is the entry of a good conscience towards God. Well, so what if you do not feel you ought to be baptized? Well, that, now you have a evil conscience towards God, as far as I'm concerned. Because I'll show you in the scriptures, and I'll say, look at Jesus said, I mean, Jesus Christ did not need to be baptized. As far as, he's the Savior. He doesn't, like, need to be saved. Right? He doesn't need to repent of any sins. In fact, John didn't want to baptize him. He said, you ought to baptize me. But Jesus said, suffer it to be so. It behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. He wanted to fulfill all righteousness. So that we would, because he's our example. We're supposed to be following in his footsteps. You know, just as Peter's been saying in his book here. I mean, it's so clear. We are following in the footsteps of Christ. Verse 21 of 1 Peter 2. You were called. He's talking about suffering. You know, but he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Everything he did was an example for us to follow in his steps. To walk uprightly, walk in godliness, to forgive.